What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and we've got another bonus episode for you here. And this is a little bit of a different one. Normally, we're talking to writers, artists, editors, etc. on the podcast, but there's another big part of the comic book industry that you may be aware of, I think, which is comic book shops, which is why I am elated to have two of the folks behind a great comic book shop based in Lawrenceville, New Jersey here. It's called Final Boss Comics and Games. Welcome to the podcast, Floyd Bennett, the owner, and Griffin Sullivan, the manager of Final Boss. Guys, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's awesome to be here. This is really exciting.
I'm excited to be here. And just to pull back the curtain a little bit, Greg, who does PR for IDW sort of on the side, was like, hey, I know these guys from this comic book shop. They're doing an amazing job. Would you be interested in talking to them? And I jumped at the chance because, like I briefly touched on in the intro, I think, you know, we all know what's going on with Spider-Man. We all know what's going on with Batman. Like, we're very aware of those storylines, but it's such a big part of the industry that I think is a mystery to people, where you go into the store, you get the stuff on your pull list and you leave, but there's so many intricacies of the business, particularly right now. I was curious to talk with you, and I know that's a lot of pressure, just be like, real quick, explain the entire comic book industry to me. But instead of that, let's talk about something that it very much is in your wheelhouse first, which is Final Boss Comics. So you opened in 2007 and have had a couple of hiccups since then, but are now coming back bigger and stronger than ever. So without asking you to give me your whole LinkedIn or resume or anything like that, can you talk us through the story of Final Boss?
Sure. I opened up in 2007 in Jersey City. I've always had a passion for comic books. I loved reading them. So, you know, I opened up after the first year. I had a very final destination type moment happen to me, where I was outside on the phone of October 2008, and it was really windy, and a tree was blown down by the wind, which missed me, hit the power lines. The power lines swung over my head as I dived into the store, and they hit the building and set the store on fire.
Oh my God.
Me and the other customers in there, who I still remember, we all three of us ran out and called 911. So yeah, that was the first building. I stole comics out of my trunk for a week with customers coming and just staring at the rubble of what was left. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah, I found another place like a few blocks down. Hey, Dylan, you pulled Spider-Man. Here's the Fallout game you wanted. So I opened up a few blocks away. And that went well until the landlord sold the building to, you know, big developers, which is funny because I'm in the original Miss Marvel comic as Roy's Comics and Games, and she was fighting Hydra, and Hydra was disguised. Their name was basically disguised as like redevelopment companies who came into Jersey City, were building it up and kicking out everyone. So I was like, oh, cool. We lost the fight. So I kind of tied that happening. And at that same time when I closed, Miss Marvel went to the school up the block from my store in the comics, and that whole block got destroyed. So I kind of tied that into the story. It was like, oh man, the block got destroyed. So I moved down here, and you know, after COVID, I was like, I think it's time to reopen. I sold online for a few years, and now I was like, it's time to reopen here. And this has been beautiful. I'm like 5 minutes down the block from my house. This is a wonderful area, and people love comics, entire families.
Yeah. And Griffin, what about you? When did you join the shop?
So I'm a much more recent addition. When Floyd moved down here, I was a regular at a lot of different shops. The first time I walked in, Floyd and I ended up talking for a few hours, and it became a regular part of my weekly schedule to kind of just stop in and talk about comics with someone else who was passionate about them. And at one point, Floyd was going away for a week, and I jokingly was like, I'll run the shop while you're gone, and he gave me a cape.
Oh, and that's it. That's the whole story. Okay. You know, it's funny the amount of people that I talk to that is kind of the exact same story. Like at my local shop in Brooklyn that I go to with my son, I was talking to the guy working behind the counter, and he said the exact same thing. He was like, yeah, I used to go here all the time, and then they were having me work in the register, and now I run the place. And yeah. I think that's just kind of the story of comic book shops, that it's a community that becomes a business, kind of.
It's weird. And I never thought about this until you just said that, but you can learn so much about someone just from the comics they read and how like I guess they talk about. So yeah,
and I think like we got to know each other over like shared opinions on comics, but also on like things like the importance of community. And there was just a lot of like-mindedness on things. So it was a pretty easy fit, I think. Yeah. And it's been really awesome to watch the story grow, and the community that we've been able to establish is really incredible. Like you said, like Greg's the best. We're really happy to have him as a customer, but like it's people like that that make comics so incredible.
Yeah, the people who have that passion for comics just out there, comics truly are a great litmus test. And yeah, we have so many. I call my customers, we call them our Final Boss family members. So just so many of them are just passionate about comics, and like not just older ones, but also like mostly like the newer ones that come out weekly. They love them. They love to talk about them. They will sit here for hours and just. We would chat comics all week, and then they'll come back the next day, literally, and we'll talk some more.
Yeah. And that's, sorry to interrupt, please. Griffin. No, I was just going to ask, just to get back to something you said earlier about like learning so much about people through comics. What are some red flag comics? Like if somebody comes back in and they're like, hey, I just finished Crossed and I want to buy even more copies of Crossed. And like, I don't know about this guy.
Believe it or not a red flag. I personally love the first Crossed.
I mean,
I had one up in the top leftmost corner where kids couldn't see it.
Sure.
And we got a promotional item from there was a movie starring Gerald Butler, I believe.
It was some exorcism movie.
Yeah, and they sent me, like, to promote it, 1,000 rosary beads. So I jokingly put a rosary bead in front of the comic up there. I was like, whoever buys this comic, you get a free rosary bead to go with it.
Keep the curse down.
But, yeah, honestly, like...
I try not to judge
people
in that way based on their comic choices, right? I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. There are certainly books that like aren't for me, but like I'm not going to begrudge. There are definitely limits to that also. But like I would say the comics we offer, there's not any super red flag comics. I have like questions sometimes, but
but yeah. I honestly, like, you know, people know it's comics. It's like I will watch a horror. I love horror, so I will watch horror movies and like, you know, whatever people likes, whatever makes them happy, as long as they realize it's just a comic and not real life, cool. Yeah, they're cool in my book.
Let me ask you about expanding the shop. So you reopened it, and I don't know if this is the exact footprint, but the way that Greg described it is you doubled the size of the shop. So what do you credit that to? Like, across the board, I think everybody knows this, and this is the minimal version of saying this, business is tough right now. Dollars are tough right now. Tariffs and everything the government is doing, not to get too political here, but is making everything, I would say, worse. Or at least exponentially harder. So what's the secret formula that Final Boss figured out that is making it work?
Like you said, things are more expensive right now. But at the same time, and I opened originally, again, 2007, 2008, we were in a recession, but people bought their comics. Some people are like, I can't go on vacation. I'm going to get these comics because they make me feel better. They bring joy to my life. And I always encourage people, you know, as long as you're not hurting anyone or yourself, do what brings you joy. And our Final Boss family members, they come in, like, we open at 10 on Wednesdays. 10 o'clock, it is packed in here on Wednesdays. Usually the same people, sometimes additional people come and goes, oh, I didn't know it was this crazy on a Wednesday. I'm like, yes, because everyone's, it's like, it's our first day of the week. Not really, but that's usually when we haven't seen anyone since last week. We're like, hey, how was your weekend? And they know we're not, you know, they know we're talking about everything that led up until that day. But yeah, they come here for that. And
I think we're incredibly blessed with a very strong community base that supports us. But especially in times of strife and financial hardship, I think our little escapes are so important to hold on to, and the little break from reality, even when the books can obviously be topical and mirror those things, there's still a level of removal that allows us to kind of compartmentalize and deal with the stressors of real life. And I think now more than ever, people need that. From superhero comics, you know, you get a really strong morality that can be lacking in the modern world. And then across the indie spectrum, you can get basically any emotion you need to feel. So yeah, I think it's a combination of we're in a really strong place with a lot of incredible indie titles, and obviously the Absolute line, Marvel's Armageddon coming up. People are excited about stories, but I also think that like people cling to their hobbies harder in times of hardship.
Let me ask you about that specifically in terms of what is bringing people into stores. We just keep hearing the Absolute line, specifically Absolute Batman, not to keep talking about my son, but we were discussing how his friends who are all in like middle school, they know Absolute Batman. Even if they don't read comics, they are aware of that. And that's clearly had a cultural breakthrough. We've certainly heard about the Ultimate line. We've heard about the Energon universe drawing people in. But what's your experience? What are the things that are not keeping the faithful, but bringing new people or maybe lapsed readers into stores?
I think everything of the titles you just mentioned are definitely hot titles. And I was looking at the back and forth, the lovely back and forth between Snyder and Kirkman the other day, where Kirkman was like, man, I love that people go Absolute Batman and sometimes leave Invincible. And I was like, that's true. But because of the Invincible TV show, there are also people who come here to buy the books and then leave with Absolute Batman or they leave with Energon Universe. I have customers who come in here and go, yeah, I used to read old Transformers books. And I'm like, have you checked out the Energon Universe? And normally I have like them in order, like on the wall. Like we have a pretty good graphic novel presence as well. And I'll put them in order. And I'll say, hey, start with Void Rivals. And I don't like to spoil stuff, but look at this. And then all of a sudden it's just, they're like, what? They're like, yeah, so Transformers, look at this, just one page. And then that's Duke. And then it connects to this. And they're like, oh my goodness. And then they jump right in. And it's not just that also. Some people come in and just, you know, a lot of the movies, and I love what James Gunn has been doing, like where he was wearing a shirt the other day that said read comic books. And I love that because so many of the movies do not send people to the comic book shop. But James put out a list like before Superman comes out, here are the books that inspired me that you should read. And I have customers coming in. Hey, do you have that? Do you have that? The DC Compact line is doing that. And just, yeah, a lot of things are bringing people in.
I mean, I would say Rivals and Invincible had the two largest impacts directly. Like you saw people who came in with the first wave of Rival covers, and most of them didn't keep going. But the ones that did have branched out into all sorts of stuff. And it's really exciting whenever you get to watch someone go on that journey of like discovering new books. Like that's the best part of this, is watching people find stuff they love and then come back and tell you how much they love it. Yes. Yeah, definitely Invincible.
Yeah, that was the next thing I wanted to ask you about is in terms of, is there any trickle down effect? Because I could see people coming in and being like, great, got Absolute Batman, goodbye, and that's it. But do you see, there's obviously, we know there's a lot more comics that are coming out. So just to reference something that's literally right behind you, do you see people coming in getting Energon Universe and they're like, great, give me Tigris Island or what else is out there? I don't know, Geiger or whatever. I don't know.
Believe it. So we really know our Final Boss family really well, and not just them. Like if you walk in this door, one of the first questions I'll ask someone is, you know, if they say I've never read a comic in my life, cool. What kind of movies? What kind of shows? What kind of books do you like? Like, oh, well, I like the movie Seven. Oh, man. Here you go. And I'll get a big smile on face. Check out Dungeon by Scott Snyder. Like you are going to love this book. Do not flip through it, but not too far. And then they'll read that and they'll come back and like, holy crap. What else you got? I'm like, cool, Beneath the Trees. And then something else, Scott Snyder. I say, hey, I recognize this name, Scott Snyder. Yes. So we not only encourage following like the titles you like, but also the creators. We are very creator heavy here. Mm-hmm. Last year, I went crazy and decided and said on camera, I'm going to do a signing a month. I said it right after Chris Condon was here. And then I was like, oh, God, why did I say that? Now I have to do this. And we had Sean Von Gorman of Comics in next month. And we just kept going. We nailed it with having someone in here every month. And it like just people were excited to meet them. And Griffin, you can elaborate on that. Just having them here in a smaller space.
Yeah, I think the answer to the question is yes. But so like some of it's in the approach and some of it's in the books. I see people come in for like Absolute Batman, and they catch up on Absolute Batman and they've got the itch and they're like, all right, but like what's next? And from there, our approach to comics kind of takes over and we get to know them. We get to know their tastes and we try to point them at creators, not necessarily stories. Like, yeah, if you like Scott Snyder, here's some other cool stuff he's done. If you're enjoying Absolute Wonder Woman and you're not reading Batman Dark Patterns, you're missing out on some of Hayden Sherman's best art. You got to check this out. And through that, we're able to encourage a sort of crossover effect where we've been able to turn single title readers into larger comic book readers.
And happily on their end as well. Like if I never wanted to feel like them to feel begrudging to it. We tell people all the time, if you don't like it, bring it back. I'd rather you, like, money's tight. I'd rather you take the risk and spend something, money on something that you enjoy, instead of going, nope, didn't like that, not wasting my money ever again. And it doesn't hurt that Griffin and I read almost everything that comes out weekly, so we can kind of tailor it to each one of everyone who comes in here.
There's also like there's been a whole young contingent that's come in because of the Invincible show, and then they read all of the Invincible, and they're like, is there anything else like that?
Yeah.
And it's like, we can go Incorruptible, we can go other.
You should check out Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Joking.
But yeah, I think that there's been more crossover, and I feel like it's been growing as the kids who have started these series are finishing those series. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about signings. Obviously, they're cool because you got a creator in there. You got that one-on-one time. But in terms of the overall strategy, what's the goal with a signing? What do you, as the shop, other than bringing those people in, what do you want to get out of that?
What do I want to get out of it for us is kind of nothing. What my goal is, ultimately, what we're doing is that we're one of the reasons comics is as cool as it is how like affable and approachable the creators of the art we love are, right? There's a small contingent of people who read comics overall. It's a pretty small community. And because of that, the people that make comics are the people that love comics. And there's a lot of crossover there. So my goal is to build relationships where readers become personally invested in creators and then follow their works to other books, right? Like, will that pay off long-term? Because then I can sell that Texas Blood to someone who reads Ultimate Wolverine? Sure. But it's more important to me that we're exposing people to the greater pieces of work and, like, letting them discover the greater world of comics. And that's kind of what it comes back to for me.
Yeah, and I agree. And like, I hate to bring him up again, but he's just amazing. Chris Condon, for instance, he came the one time and I went to bring him back last year. He goes, I could, but let's wait a little. I have some things coming up. And I was like, done. And I was like, I just want to catch you. I know you're going to get busy. And I know a lot of creators are so busy. I respect that. And you guys end up just doing like Midtown or Third Eye. And Chris was like, listen, always smaller shops first. I will always support smaller shops. And that just, like, it's like he's like the kind of guy who remembers where he came from, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he always takes care of his local shop. He takes care of us. He's actually coming here next week for
– That's why we keep bringing.
That's another reason. He's, like, fresh in my mind, coming from Reborn, and he's also coming from Of the Earth, and he's bringing Andy and Michael with him, which I'm like, that's amazing. And it was like
– Yeah, the way that dude uses his
but that mindset,
right? Like his capital to like help out other people he believes in is dope. I just respect the hell out of
him. And I've had customers who have met him in other cons and like, he remembered me and like they felt honored. And now they are like, oh, now I'm going to buy more of his books type thing. So yeah, that's the approach to signings, just to bring the creators and the customers together.
It creates a cool experience for the customers. And they get to take that with them. And it's different than a con, you know?
Yeah, like I love the movie The Mummy, but I can't, like, I'm not going to run into Brendan Fraser in a situation where I could just sit down with him and be like, man, tell me about this. Like, no, it's going to be like, hey, thanks, kid. And just like, keep me moving. Here, they actually get to chat. It's so wonderful.
Yeah. One of the big discussions that's been going on in our Patreon Discord for a while, as well as I think everywhere online in terms of the comic book industry, is the potential reemergence of the speculator market, specifically because of the preponderance of variance covers. Blind bags are the whole thing now. I have my personal feelings about it, but you as retailers, how do you feel about this and where do you see it going?
So we have a mix of customers here, and some of them do, like, you know, buy speculator comics, but some of them just buy the variants, not for like flipping reasons, just because they really love the artwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, Griffin alone will look at it and just like, man, I love all, like, Absolute Martian Manhunter. Yeah, I want every single cover for Absolute Martian Manhunter.
So good.
So while there are speculators, which we saw with, let's say, Dork or White Sky, like, there was, like, a little month there which every week Nectar was there, people were jumping on those number ones. But you can tell the ones who jumped on because of speculation, because they haven't come back to reading it. But those who picked it up for whatever reason, whether it was speculation, whether they just wanted to check it out, they're still pulling it. They're still reading it. And you know they're reading it because they're telling me, like, oh, man, like, I actually really like this. Oh, man, do you remember this part in the book? I'm like, yes, I did like that part in the book. So, yeah, and, you know, if they're buying two copies, one to hold on to, there's no shame in that. I mean, I bought I don't know how many copies of Death of Superman. So.
And that's just this week. I'm of two minds of it, like, from a personal level, at least. Like, I do worry about how it floods the market and creates these pops that are unsustainable with diminishing returns. But on the other hand, like, people like opening trading card packs, right? And is a blind bag any different than that? You get a piece of art, maybe you have a couple of them already, sometimes you get a rare one. And I think if we're interacting with them in a casual, not obsessive, not like, I have to get the sketch art, I'm going to spend all my money on it until I do. Like, I think that there can be a lot of fun to be had there. But I also remember the 90s. So, you know, it could go either way.
I still feel like most of ours, like when we did Battle Beast, we recorded so many customers opening the blind bags. Mm-hmm. And the sheer joy and excitement that they were getting just standing around, whether they got like, this was okay. Or Joe who pulled the 1 in 1,000 Battle Beast and was like, huh, oh, okay. So, yeah, it was just like to have a bunch of people in a room to the point where people walk by the next day and say, what was happening in there yesterday? Like, it sounded like you guys were having so much fun. I was like, it was fun. And I do think Skybound does the best on blind bags because they keep it like a regular price. They throw a lot of surprises in. And yeah, like
Kirkman can market the hell out of it.
Kirkman is one of the most brilliant minds in comics right now. And I love that man. I mean, Walking Dead was one of my biggest sellers when I was in Jersey City, where the town over with like a smaller, older town, they could sell Superman like crazy. They could not sell Walking Dead. I couldn't sell Superman. But yeah, so I just love his direction for like just doing ideas like that. He has a great team that he's surrounded by, which is good.
It sounds like I'm right there with you guys where I definitely, you get that joy. You get that like opening up the pack and looking at the thing. And I also completely agree with you on how Skybound is doing it. You know, hiding surprise comics in there feels very different to me than, oh, this is a foil variant or thing. And also, I don't want to shame anybody because everybody loves different things that are in different things. But that to me is more fun. That's more exciting in terms of a blind bag. But
at the same time, the price point is cheaper than paying $10 for another company's blind bag. Where people are like, well, I guess so. One blind bag, I bought less than 20 because I was like, for $10 each? And just for foil variants? Whereas with Kirkman, we kept increasing our Battle Beast orders.
Or like the what Dynamite's doing with them right now. No shade to Dynamite specifically. But like the $20 Supernatural blind bags that feature two different covers. It's just like they're $5 books. It's a $20 blind bag. That seems a little excessive to me.
Yeah, well, it gets to the other side of things. The part that I don't like that makes me feel a little icky is it feels like publishers trying to juice their numbers through the blind bags when maybe you are having a good experience as a customer, but from there, it's kind of like a false positive. It's giving you like, wow, this is a successful comic. It sold 400,000 copies, but really, how many people are actually reading the thing is my question, you know?
I will say, as long as the creators are getting paid, I am happy either way. As long as these creators can like make as much of a living as they can to continue doing what they love and making what I love reading, make that money, please.
Well, on that note, this is top of mind just because as we're taping this, Heidi over the beat put up a thing about sales charts earlier this morning, which I've had discussions with her about. Everybody's constantly talking about them. Not constantly, but there's discussions. How do you feel about them? Do you feel sales charts like actual accurate sales charts is something that would be helpful in terms of selling things? Do you think there's the negative view of people will go to what's at the top of the sales charts and ignore the bottom? What's your take on it?
Bro, so like I'm a huge dork. So like I like more data is cool to me. Mm-hmm. I love knowing how books are doing, and I it's crazy that we're in an industry that doesn't have concrete reporting on the actual number of units being moved. Like, that's crazy. I don't think it's going to affect sales at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, at least in how I view most of our customer base for us, no one really comes in like, hey, what's selling a ton? People want to know what's good. People want to know what's exciting. People want to know what people are liking. But no one's like, is it moving 20,000 units? I can't, to me, that's fun knowledge. But like, I can't see it really impacting the overall market.
I disagree. I agree, but I also disagree to a degree. And you're right. That's a lot of degrees. Yes, no one is looking. But I feel like if they were more available, certain customers go, like, let's say sales charts were like super available, and I use social media a lot. I would probably post them weekly. Like, here's what's at the top of the charts. Certain of our companies, like, huh, I will try that. On the other end, it will not affect anything at the bottom of the chart because I'm going to read it anyway. I'm going to buy it anyway. And I will let people know, hey, this could be the last book in every comic book ever came out this week. It could be at the bottom. Matt, you are going to love this book. It is your cup of tea. Shy, you're going to love, like, I will know who's going to love that book. I love this book, for instance. So I think it will only affect in a positive, at least for this shop. I cannot speak of other shops. But yeah, because I'm still going to order it. I'm not going to look at a sales chart and say, I'm not going to order that. I might look at it deliberately, like, what makes this so bad that it's at the bottom? So yeah, I think it will only help if they work to be clear with it.
I want to ask you a couple of versus questions, not character versus, but sort of like sides of the comic book industry versus. And like you said earlier, just to be clear, I understand this is about your store, right? Because you're using that very apt Superman versus Walking Dead comparison, because nothing is the same from store to store, from location to location.
Superman would take out every zombie easily. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, fair. But just to talk about like some publishing things that sell differently in different places, how are you doing? What are you seeing in terms of trends of graphic novels / trade paperbacks versus the single issues?
So I'm going to say we tend to be a new issue store. Like, we are a store that is driven by new single comics. But it's close. And especially as things like Invincible and other shows have come out, like the back catalogs are starting to get really re-engaged. I'm seeing a surge in interest in like old Vertigo requests and like 2010 Image stuff. So versus, though, I'm gonna say right now it's single issues on the back of things like Power Fantasy and Assorted Crisis Events and Absolute Batman.
Agreed. I'm definitely single issues. And like you said, a lot of the trades are ones that have been out of print or priced out for so long. DC Compacts, Image doing this size has helped a lot. And I was initially against them. And like, some of them I still will not, like, I still, like, you don't want to read Watchmen. That's tiny.
Read Watchmen,
it's so tiny. Like, you hurt your eyes and you want that on the big. But yeah, I think it helps so much just to have things that were previously inaccessible now.
And also options, just different ways like that different people can engage with the same material is always a good thing.
Because it's crazy how many things that were top sellers when I was in Jersey City that just, I'm like, oh, you should really, oh, nope, that's out of print. Well, what? Nope, that's out of print. Man, my favorite, I've been trying to get people on Annihilation forever, and it finally came back out like as an omnibus, I believe, and then out of print again. And I'm just like, no, it's probably the most important space story for Marvel, like the first run. But so yeah, I would love for them just to continue to make things out of print more accessible in trade.
If you if you want something like that back in print, like, you know, you can sell copies of Annihilation like hotcakes at your store.
Absolutely.
What is the window for that? Is that in person with Marvel at Comics Pro? Do you have a line directly to them? How do you handle something like that?
I yell at the sky.
Yeah, like, seriously, there is no line. I remember, I don't remember who I messaged. It might have been Jeff Lemire himself. When I reopened here, I was like, man, Trillium is out of print. Any way to get that back in print? And I really don't remember if I messaged. It was someone, and it was like, I can speak to my, I forgot who they said they'll speak to. And they were like, but probably not. But just stuff like that. And it was like, oh, well, that sucks. Because we have so many Jeff Lemire fans who we've built up. We do a monthly book club, and we've built up through book club and other things that I'm just like, they are all looking to read this right now. Like, and like, they've jumped on. They've gone from reading his indie stuff to now they're reading his Flash book. Someone commented on our Instagram yesterday, like, his Firestorm. Oh, man.
That's really good.
Jeff Lemire is cooking. Like, yes, Jeff Lemire is very good.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are avenues we are not availing ourselves of. But right now, our methodology is mostly yelling at the sky.
Yeah. It's true.
Well, maybe the sky will answer back at some point. To get back to the versus, what about manga versus American comics? What are you seeing sales there? Because I feel like the story for a while was that manga was enormously eclipsing everything. But I'm wondering if we're in a new place now that there are some stronger lines coming from the.
I feel like manga was outselling comics and still is, because it had the easier TV to book pipeline, which comics is finally realizing they should do.
Ooh, good one.
A lot of the our younger readers, like, we have an all ages section. I don't call it a kid section, because if you call it a kid section, nobody wants to read from that section unless you're like two. But a lot of the maybe like fifth, sixth graders who were reading books from that section, like Hollow or Netherlands from Tom Taylor, now they've read all of that. They'll still get one or two. But they switched over to Spy Family. They switched over to Chainsaw Man. Well, maybe not Chainsaw Man yet, but they've gone the older ones do that. But yeah, it's very easy because anime is everywhere. Like, every streaming service has anime on it. When you turn something on, you're like, oh, cool. I wonder if you have the books. Whereas, again, for the longest time, comics were not, and movies were not doing that.
I'm gonna say that right now, there is more regular interest in new comics than manga, but I will also stipulate that they are the same thing and that all comics are comics. But if we are going to create this dichotomy, I will say right now there is more of a surge of new readers looking for American comics.
Agreed.
It's not a huge gap, yeah, but I'm going to say it has swung slightly back.
And even our, like, Ninja Turtles Naruto came out last year before. And, like, I have customers that come in, oh, like, you know, ooh, you have any manga, any Naruto? I'm like, I do, but also, check this out. And they're like, oh. So that was, I'm pretty sure that was the first time, like, I think any manga, as far as I know, has crossed over for the American comic in print. As far as I can know, correct me if I'm wrong, but
that can't be right. But I can't.
I know. But yeah, that's helped a lot also, and it was like, it was a good book. And I sold another one yesterday to a kid who came to look for Pokemon cards. Hmm. He came to look for Pokemon cards, ended up buying some manga, and ended up buying that book as well. And now when he comes back, and it didn't hurt, and I didn't notice at the time, his mom turned out to be a Ninja Turtles fan. Again, first time in the store for all of this. So when she saw that in his hand, she's like, oh, absolutely, yes. I'll buy the manga and I'll buy this for you. So, yeah, I think, like Griffin said, comics are comics. It's just the more they can work together, I think it'll be better for both sides of it.
We're bad at this versus thing.
No, that's fine. This is, it's not actually versus. It's just it's a prompt. That's all I'm doing. And I mean, the last one, and you kind of touched on this already, and it's not really a contest at all, but I wrote down kids versus adults. But I guess my bigger question is, like, it sounds like you are seeing younger readers actually coming into comic book stores, which is something that,
oh, hell yeah,
for most of the time that I've been covering this, it's been like, how do we get in younger readers? It seems like now they are.
Yeah, we have a huge, like, I mean, when I first opened, maybe a week or two later, two people came in. People were still wearing masks. I didn't recognize them. They were talking. They're like, man, this is a great kids section. And me being me, I was like, all ages. And they were chatting. And one was like, and I heard them talk. I said, I'm sorry, you say you used to work for Marvel? He goes, yeah, I do. Sometimes I said, oh, cool. What's your name? Maybe I've heard of you. He's like, oh, I'm Fabian Asesia. I was like, oh, you created Deadpool. Cool. And he was like, yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I don't see this in a lot of shops. Like, you, and it's only grown since he has been here. At first, it was like a shelf behind me, like a row. Then it became a table with a couple of books under. Now it's a whole wall, and we still don't have enough room. I need to find room for all ages books. And I get a lot of school kids in here. I help with libraries where I'll curate some schools' libraries for them, and they get a taste of it there. I'll donate, like, I have a big donation of free comic books going out in the next week or two for some schools.
We do a lot. Floyd does a lot of work with the local schools, both public and private. And I think that because of that, it drives a lot more young readers into the shop. Sort of, they hear about us, or they're the librarians like, yeah, the Final Boss suggested this. And then we see their families come through. And it's, so kids, always, you need young readers to keep the hobby alive.
And it's
so
also great seeing adults and kids. Like, we had two families in last week at the same time. Yeah. Two of them were older, and the dad was like, yeah, my son, whose kid was probably in his 20s, was like, he's trying to read stuff, you know, he's reading stuff that I used to read. At the same time, there were like a younger kid who was also picking up stuff with his dad. I was like, oh, you guys are doing the same thing. Awesome. So it's cool seeing parents being drawn back into comics. Mm-hmm. And sharing that love with their kids, and vice versa. Sometimes the kids pulling their parents in. So, yeah, and Golden Books, I must say, Golden Books, man, when I was growing up, they were like Three Little Pigs and stuff. Now, like, our best Golden Book seller is Jaws, Big Shark, Little Boat. There's a Stranger Things Golden Book. There's Aliens, A is for Alien, X is for Xenomorph. There's so many superhero ones that every time a movie comes out, and people come and the kids run to that. Like, we have a whole Golden Book spinner. Choose Your Own Adventure books came back, the originals. And kids are like, what's this? And to see the parents' eyes light up, oh, you want this one? Because I read this one. So, yeah, I love that we are very much a family shop. Like, we have different, like, things, but to see a whole family come in reading and buying comics together is just a wonderful, like, look.
Yeah, there's something that's really cool, too, about, like, you've experienced this a lot more because you've been at it a lot longer. I've met some of the kids that used to go to your shop that are, like, firefighters now and, like, whole adults with their own families. And that's wild. I can't deal with that kind of, like, time in your face, the passage of
mortality is wild, okay?
But, like, it's really cool to watch people come in and try a comic book, and then they've been coming back for 3 and 4 years. And you get to watch their tastes grow as they're able to, like, expand into different worlds. And, like, it helps shape them as they become, like, little people and shit. It's cool.
Did they become firefighters because they watched the shop burn down? Was there a
direct actually? He was in the shop at the time, so.
Oh, there you go. You saved lives with comics. That's amazing. I've got one last one for you before I let you guys go, and I appreciate your time talking about all
this.
It's been fascinating. There is a creator named Tyler Boss, and there's another creator named Tyler Kirkham who has a comic called Final Boss. Is that annoying for you?
Not at all.
We actually have a signed one of the Final Boss before Image picked it up. Sitting behind the counter as like a not for sale little nod.
Yeah, one of our customers, KJ, brought
it in. He's actually a really big fan of your podcast, so shout out Kevin.
Yes.
Hey, Kevin.
You're right, he is a huge fan. Yeah, he just brought it and goes, man, I thought this would be cool for you guys. So I have a shelf behind me, and anything that customer gives me, I put a price on it of $9,999 because when I was in Jersey City, I had my my Secret Wars 8 that my comic book seller as a kid sold it to me for probably like $8, even though it was more expensive. And it was just like a display, and my employee at the time sold it, not realizing that. So I now put $9,999 in everything, because if someone actually buys it for that, cool. Whoever gave that to me will understand. I will split the money with that person and buy myself another one.
All to say, we have the most expensive version of Final Boss you can find anywhere.
But yeah, no relation.
And we love Tyler Boss.
Tyler Boss is
what a guy.
One of the kindest human beings I've ever met.
Awesome artist.
A few years ago, you probably heard the story about his car being broken into and by the Kia boys, and they like dumped gasoline on his wife's thesis.
Yeah, using hardships as a way to turn around and give back to the community. Yeah. Like, we'll support people that do that forever.
Yeah, instead of like going after them and everything, he sold art to donate to organizations that would help kids not grow up to do stuff like that.
Wow.
And one of the kindest human beings. So yeah, he's more than part of the Final Boss family, okay? He's a brother of ours. It's the boss.
Awesome. Guys, this has been fantastic. Like I said, I mentioned the address earlier, 10 Gordon Avenue in Lawrenceville in New Jersey. But anything else you want to plug? Is there a place people should check you out online? Any events coming up? Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, again, we do have Chris Condon, Michael Tevay, and Andrew Eric coming in next Wednesday, May 20th from 5 to 7 for a signing. I'll say this to you first. And we'll go a month ahead. I normally don't promote a month ahead of time until one has left. But on June 20th from 11 to 2, we will have Matthew Rosenberg here along with Andy McDonald.
Mm-hmm. So the If Destruction Be Our Lot team will be doing a signing. Also, Rosenberg Spawn and King Spawn will have come out, I think. Yeah. That'll be a real fun one.
Yeah, If Destruction has been incredible. Like, everyone
talk about books that did incredibly well for us off the rip. I thought we ordered enough to carry us to the signing, and we are not going to have any left for that.
I already ordered second prints because we sold out basically almost all day one, and by the end of the week, like, done. But yeah, besides that, we are expanding. Like, as you said, we're going to have some D&D going on, some magic.
Leaning more into the games part of our name rather than just carrying things. We're excited to be able to share that with the community and build more community through being able to host events, because our store is relatively small. But the most important thing is go out and read comics. Go out and buy comics, find stuff you love, support art you love, and support the people that make the art you love.
And we're on all social media under Final Boss Comics. We're on every social media is Final Boss Comics. And check us out.
Awesome. Floyd Griffin, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, absolute pleasure. And I'm looking forward to making the trip down to New Jersey to visit Final Boss myself. So thank you guys very much.
Let us know when. Yes, we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much for doing this. Great show.
Yes.
Excellent support to the comic scene. Really thoughtful interviews. Appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you, guys. Too kind. Come on, have a good night.